InshaAllah, brothers request you to come closer. Sati Khalik Khalib Ajay, inshaAllah. A very brief lesson of hadith, inshaAllah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى يا كريم. So inshallah, continuing with this chapter, باب فضل الحب في الله تعالى. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله إمام عادل وشاب نشأ في عبادة الله عز وجل ورجل قلبه معلق بالمساجد ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه ورجل دعته امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه ورجل ذكر الله تعالى خاليا ففاضت عيناه متفق عليه. This hadith has previously passed in other chapters because it's relevant to many other discussions and many other chapters as well. So pehle hadith ki tarjuma urdu mein kar leta hu aur phir iske baad English mein samjha dunga. Is hadith ki rawi hai Sayyidina Abu Huraira radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Irshad farmate hai ki Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne irshad farmaya saat giroh aise hain ki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qiyamah ke din unko apna saaya naseeb farmayenge. جس دن اللہ تعالیٰ کے سائے سایہ کے علاوہ کوئی اور سایہ نہیں ہوگا. پہلے گروہ یا پہلا شخص امام عادل, ایک انصاف کرنے والا بادشاہ, اور دوسرا وشاب نشأ فی عبادت اللہ عز وجل, ایک ایسا نوجوان جو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ کی عبادت میں اس کی پرورش ہوئی ہے, اور تیسرا شخص ایسا آدمی اس آدمی جس کا دل قلبہ معلق بالمساجد مسجد کے ساتھ لٹکا ہوا ہوتا تھا, اور چوتھا وہ دو شخص جو تحابہ فی اللہ ایک دوسرے سے محبت رکھتے تھے صرف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ کے واسطے, اجتماع علیہ و تفرقہ علیہ اسی لیے ایک دوسرے سے ملاقات کرتے تھے اللہ تعالیٰ کے واسطے اور اسی لیے ایک دوسرے سے جدا اور الگ بھی ہوتے تھے, اور پانچواں وہ شخص دعته امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله, ایسا شخص جس کو کوئی مطلب اونچی منصب والی اور بہت خوبصورت ایک عورت اس کو بلائے اور وہ کہے کہ إني أخاف الله, میں اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ سے ڈرتا ہوں, اور چوتھا وہ شخص تصدق بصدقۃ اللہ تعالیٰ کے راستے میں خرچ کرے فأخفاها اس انداز میں خرچ کرے کہ اس کو چھپا کے خرچ کرے یہاں تک کہ لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه اس کی بائیں ہاتھ اس کے دائیں ہاتھ نے جو کچھ خرچ کیا ہے اس کے بائیں ہاتھ کو اس کے بارے میں معلوم بائیں ہاتھ کو پتہ نہ ہو, اور ساتواں وہ شخص جو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ کو یاد کرتا ہے خالیاً اکیلا تنہائی میں ففاضت عیناہ اور اس کے آنکھوں سے آنسو جاری ہو جاتے ہیں. تو یہ سات گروہ سات لوگ ایسے ہیں جن کو قیامت کے دن اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ اپنا سایہ نصیب فرمائیں گے جس دن اللہ تعالیٰ کے سایہ کے علاوہ اور کوئی سایہ نہیں ہوگا. سیدنا ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ عنہ narrates this حدیث that رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم is saying seven people اللہ تعالیٰ will shade them with his shade on the day in which there will be no shade except for اللہ تعالیٰ's shade. Now what does it mean by اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ's shade? Some people mistakenly translate here فی ظل عرشہ. They say the shade of Allah's throne, Allah's arsh. But the reality is the hadith does not mention Allah's arsh. So what does it mean by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shade? The ulama say Allah knows best what it means. It's a specific place in which He will gather these people, these fortunate people, and Allah ta'ala will shade them. Imamun adilun. The first group of people is, or the first person is Imamun adilun, a king who is just. And this person has been brought first because it is very difficult. All of these seven categories of people that will be discussed, it's very difficult to follow in their footsteps. The first person, the king who is just. Because when a person is in a position of leadership, rulership, it's very, very hard to fulfill the rights of being a leader. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to sit down very, he used to say being a leader is very, very difficult. You've got to be very soft, at the same time you've got to be very firm as well. And you've got to have an equal equilibrium, or equal balance of everything. Softness, strictness, courage, and compassion as well. You know, that bravery and kind of resolve. And at the same time, you have to make yourself very mellow as well. So you've got to have this balance. So being a king and at the same time being just and fulfilling the rights of being a king is very hard. So this is the first category. And so mashallah, we had many. And the people, those who are kings and they fulfill this quality of adl and they rule the people by fulfilling their rights, history remembers them. So many kings have come and gone, we forget them. But the ones who fulfill the rights and responsibilities of being a ruler, history remembers them. Like, for example, we talk about the Khulafa al-Rashidun. And then after that, we talk about Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayh. And throughout history, you have kings like Sayyidina Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahmatullahi alayh. In India, alhamdulillah, we had many great rulers like this. Many great rulers. For example, many of us may have heard of the Mughal Emperor, Aurangzeb Alamgir, rahmatullahi alayh. He was known for this. He used to enjoy sitting in the gathering of the scholars, calling the scholars into his companionship. And he used to, any time he had to make a decision, he would always consult with scholars. His father was Shah Jahan, Jahangir. His father, after his father passed away, it was his responsibility to be the king, but he didn't want to be the ruler, because he knew that being a ruler is very difficult. But then they pressured him and forced him. Before that, he was like a hermit. He would keep himself to himself, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to enjoy sitting with the ulama. So after he was made the ruler, we saw the justice that he imparted throughout the whole of India. And then in India, alhamdulillah, we had, because in those days it was districts, like you had Delhi, and you had the Sultanate of Delhi, and you had other big Bengal and these different places where you had the different rulers. And we saw some amazing, very pious people. For example, Sultan Shamsuddin Al-Tatmish, rahmatullahi alayhi, great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned about him previously, that it's mentioned that when the great sage of the time, the saint of the time, Sayyiduna Fariduddin Ganshakar, his sheikh, he passed away, Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki, rahmatullahi alayhi, passed away. So when he passed away, he left a wasiyah, a will, that the person who leads my janazah salah has to be someone who has never missed the 4 rakat sunnah of asr in their life. It has to be someone who has never fallen into zina, and there's different opinions mentioned, and it has to be someone who never misses their 5 times salah with jama'ah. Some have mentioned that he has never done badnazri, but I find that one a bit far-fetched. But these 3 conditions make sense. That he's never missed the 4 rakat sunnah of asr in his life, he's never missed salah with jama'at, and finally he has never fallen into zina. So this great sheikh's janazah is there, everybody is watching, everybody is waiting, who's going to come and lead the janazah? You've got great awliya present, great saints of Allah, but nobody is coming forward. Think about it, okay, even if you can do the 5 times salah daily with jama'at, but performing this 4 rakat sunnah before asr every single day and never missing it, you know, not everybody can claim that you can do this. And then one person comes forward and he has a shawl, a chadar over his head, his face is covered. And when he comes forward, everyone's saying, who is this person? So he comes forward and he looks at Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki, rahmatullahi alayhi, grave, and he said, Shaykh, you've exposed me today. This was a secret between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody knew about it. But you've exposed me in front of these people. And then he lifts his shawl and he's the king of the time. Sultan Shamsuddin Al-Tatmish is the king of Delhi. And if you read his history, you see that he didn't have a very kind of easy going reign. It was a very difficult reign. He had to deal with enemies, and he had to deal with enemies in his own family, always trying to usurp and take over the throne. And then obviously there you had the Sikhs, and you had other people who were causing a lot of problems. So he had to always clamp down on these fitnas and so many other issues. But at the same time, he never missed his 4 rakat sunnah of asr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the hadith, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon that person who reads their 4 rakat sunnah before asr. Allah's rahmah, rahimallahu abdan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his rahmah, special rahmah upon someone who reads their 4 rakat sunnah of asr. He would never miss. So these kind of people on the day of qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade. And there are many others. Washab, Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, he only reigned for 2 years, isn't it? 2 years khilafat. In those 2 years, before he became a khalifa, he was such a rich person. He had the most expensive, exquisite clothing, perfume, housing, everything. And his wife, Sayyidatuna Fatima, she was the daughter of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. She was a very rich lady, a princess. If you want a definition of princess, this was a princess, Sayyidatuna Fatima. But as soon as Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi became a khalifa, overnight he changed his whole life, everything. His clothes became worn out, tattered clothes, old clothes. Food, he would barely have enough food for the day. He would rarely take anything from the Baytul Mal, public treasury. He would only take enough that was sufficient for him. And he said to his wife, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, rahmatullahi alayha, that this is the lifestyle that we're adopting now. That, you know, are you ready to follow me on this? This entire time you've been my partner, my wife. We've been through a period of so much enjoyment and wealth and luxury. Are you ready to follow me into this stage of my life? She said, yes, rather take all of my gold and all of my ornaments and sell them, because I don't need them. If I'm going to be on this journey, I don't need all of these things as well. So he went and donated all of his wife's gold and all of her ornaments to charity as well. So subhanAllah, people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses, Allah ta'ala softens their hearts towards this. And his 2 years of reign was a golden period of reign. That's why they used to say he's the Umar, second Umar. And some ulama have even called him the fifth Khalifatul Rashida, because his reign, because after the fourth Khalifatul Rashida, Sayyidatuna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu karamallahu wajhahu, you had this period of turmoil and unrest. You had these khulafa, these leaders, many people did not agree with them. And so people thought, you know what, we're never going to see that golden period ever again. Now that's it, the fitnas have started. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Muslims with the reign of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and everyone with a still hope. Even if you have bad days, Allah Ta'ala can bring the good days again. It's not impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, you had many other great rulers. And so this is the first category of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade them under his shade on the day. There will be no shade except for the shade of Allah Ta'ala. وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Such a youngster who is raised, نَشَأَ, for someone to be raised and brought up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A youngster who spends his youth in the worship of Allah. Very hard. Youth, the time of desire, the time of health, the time of free time. You can do anything you want. You've got the strength. You don't have all the physical pains. Even when a person reaches 30, I was speaking to someone the other day, and mashallah, he's been playing football his whole life, like since he could start playing football. And he's in his 30s, and he says, now I'm just in my early 30s, but every time I play football, my body's aching, my legs ache, and when I come back home, I have to rest for an entire week before I could play football 2-3 days, 4-5 days in a trot. I can't do that anymore. Your body starts giving up on you. You start feeling the croaks and the pains of old age. So the young age, but then again, some ulama have mentioned young age is all the way till 40. They mentioned some ulama have said young age is all the way till 40, mashallah, for those of us who think we're 30 and we're very old. So we still have this time, this opportunity, this physical health, you can get about, you can do things. So in this age, to utilize this time to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala appreciates it so much that this person is going to be specially respected on that day. Given this honor, Allah ta'ala is going to shade him under his shade. And we can talk more about each of these points, but I've talked about them in different places. Let's get to the reason why Imam Nawawi has brought this hadith in this chapter. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. A person whose heart is attached. عَلَّقَ يُعَلِّقُ تَعْلِيقُ. For something to be connected or hung on. Like you have a hanger which is hung on into the wardrobe. It's not going to fall. It's going to remain hung there. Or you have a lantern or something which is hung on. And the ulama explain it. Like in the early days, you didn't have these lights. You used to have a lantern which used to be kind of hung onto the masjid. So they would describe this hadith by saying, like a lantern which is hung onto the masjid, this person's heart is hung onto the masjid. He can't stop thinking about masjid, salah time. He goes, he does anything else, but his mind is constantly preoccupied. When it's salah time, almost salah time, almost salah time, I need to go, almost salah time. Whatever he does, people say, come to my house for dawat. First thing he's thinking, okay, dawat, salah time. People say, we'll go and play football, we'll go and do this. Okay, yes, as long as we can stop by salah time, as long as we have a break for salah time. In any discussion, he mentions salah time. They say, okay, you've got an interview, job interview, working for a very, mashallah, very good company, they're going to pay you a very good wage. And he's thinking, okay, what about my salah time? Fajr salah, can I perform in, you know, in the masjid with jama'at? Zuhar salah, can I perform jum'ah? He's already calculating, making all these calculations in his mind. This is a person whose heart is connected to the masjid. It's hung on, he can't escape it. And he feels at ease and at peace. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the mu'min in the masjid, the believer in the masjid, is like a samaki fil ma', like fish inside of water. And the hypocrite inside the masjid, the munafiq in the masjid, is like a tayri fil qafas, like a bird inside of its cage. Can't wait to just get out, can't wait to just go. But the believer enjoys it, he's relaxed, he's calm. As soon as he leaves, he can't wait to come back. Like, it reminds me of this story, this great, I've forgotten his name. So there was this saint. of Allah Ta'ala. But in the early days, he was quite rich, he was a merchant, he was a businessman, and he was quite negligent about his salah with Jama'at. But he had this slave, this Habshi slave, this Abyssinian slave. And this Habshi slave was very punctual with his salah, very punctual. 5 times salah, he performed it in the masjid. So one day he was taking his Habshi slave on a business trip, and then it was salah time, so the Habshi slave said, "Can I perform my salah? The masjid is just there." He said, "Of course, go." So the slave goes into the masjid, and he's standing outside waiting for him. Salah time, slave's in the masjid. And then he's thinking, "It's getting so late, when is he going to come out?" So he's saying, "Bhai, what is keeping you inside the masjid? Who is holding you inside the masjid? Who's not letting you out of the masjid? Are times going?" So the slave replied, "The one who's not letting you into the masjid is the one who's not letting me out of the masjid." Look at that reply. And he changed his life. He thought, subhanallah, his tawbah happened there and then. That this is the reality. Am I that far away from Allah? Am I that disgraced and wretched in the sight of Allah that my Allah does not want to welcome me into his home? When I go into his home, I feel uncomfortable, I feel restless, I feel uneasy. So he changed his life around. There's just a spark, a time, and then Allah Ta'ala can make a person from that, take that person from that kind of lifestyle and make them a wali of Allah. We were talking about it in our hadith lesson. There's this narrator of hadith, Imam Qa'nabi rahmatullahi alayh. Now Imam Qa'nabi comes in, Marna will know, in all of the books of hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, all the main books of hadith, and then the other extra books of hadith, the remaining books of hadith. His name always appears. So we used to say his name when we were reciting the hadith in Dawla Hadith, always say his name. And then I read a story about him that really blew my mind. Imam Qa'nabi rahmatullah is famous that he was one of the main students of Imam Malik. Imam Malik from the four Imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi'i, Ahmad, whose schools nowadays everyone follows, people perform salah the way Imam Malik performed salah. He was one of the main students of Imam Malik. And Imam Malik had a ustad whose name was Ibn Shihabuddin al-Zuhri, or Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahmatullahi alayhi. Now Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahmatullahi alayhi, once came to the town where Qa'nabi used to live. And this is before Qa'nabi became a muhaddith. And Qa'nabi used to be the person that everybody in the town used to stay away from. People, you know, when something like a bad thing that you just stay away from, you don't want to go near them. Imam Qa'nabi was like this. If he came somewhere, people would just go. So Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri rahmatullahi alayhi comes into this city, he's riding on his donkey, and people flock around him. He's a great muhaddith, scholar of hadith. People are saying, "Oh, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, please say some hadith to us, tell us, narrate some hadith to us." So Qa'nabi hears about this in his home. Somehow he gets word of this. So he comes out of his home. And the narration mentions that he's wearing these bright red clothes. He just looks, mashallah, very different to everybody else. And you can smell the smell of alcohol coming from him. And in one hand, he's carrying a knife. Allah knows what's going through his mind at that stage. So he comes out, and he comes to the place where Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri rahmatullahi alayhi is there. And as soon as people see Qa'nabi coming, everybody starts moving away. So he walks all the way up to Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. He takes hold of the reins of his donkey. And then he says, "Tell me a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Because he heard that this person knows hadith. He says, "Tell me a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri looks at him. And obviously, awliya of Allah, few words can change a person's life. He looks at him, gazes into him. And then he says, "I heard my ustad narrating from his ustad." He mentions the chain of narration till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, "Idha lam tastahi faf'al ma shi'ta." That when you lose your haya, your modesty, your shame, openly you can commit sin, and you don't care about what people think, faf'al ma shi'ta, do whatever you want, because Allah Ta'ala is not supporting you anymore. You've lost your shame, you've lost your sense of haya. I don't care what people think. I heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narration mentions Imam Qa'nabi started to tremble. He goes home, he does wudu, and he totally reevaluates his life. He comes back to Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, he says, "Sheikh, I want to be your student, please teach me." And he's in the later stages of his life. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri is very old at the time. He says, "Look, I'm very old now. But you can go to my student, Malik ibn Anas, who is in Madinatul Munawwara, Imam Mudari al-Hijra. Go to him." So Imam Qa'nabi goes there and he sits with him and he learns from him. Years upon years he spends with him and he becomes one of his greatest students. His name is inside every single great book of hadith. We say Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and Nisa'i, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi. Imam Qa'nabi's name is in there not once but hundreds of times in all of these books. Allah Ta'ala has preserved his name. So it takes a second for a person's tawbah. Allah Ta'ala can change it, revolutionize a person's life over. So we should never be judgmental. We should never look down upon anyone. We should always have a heart full of love for everyone, hope for everyone, have that kind of affection for everyone, and that's the whole purpose of this chapter, inshallah. Should we continue? Should we finish off this hadith, inshallah? So this is the third category. وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. The fourth category. And this fourth category is the reason why Imam Nawawi has brought this hadith in this chapter. The two people, they love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They meet each other just for the sake of Allah. They've got no other reason. And when they leave each other's company, they part each other's company, they part for the sake of Allah. Their meeting each other was for Allah's sake. Leaving each other was for Allah's sake. This person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, here he just says the shade of Allah, under the shade of Allah, Allah ta'ala will shade him in his shade. So many narrations have mentioned, they will come later. Allah ta'ala will make them sit on ala manabir min noor. Pulpits made of noor, like this minbar. Pulpits made of noor, Allah will make them sit upon. Why? And Allah ta'ala will announce, Aina al-mutahabuna bi jalali. Where are the people who used to love each other just for my sake? And not just love each other for my sake, the hadith will come. وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّا وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّا وَالْمُتَبَاذِلِينَ فِيَّا. People who used to just visit each other for the sake of Allah. People who used to spend on each other for the sake of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will honor them. Allah Ta'ala will respect, show that honor and respect to them on that day of Qiyamah, in front of the entire khala'iq, in front of the entire creation. So these people, because the reality is our deen is all about unity. Our deen is all about brotherhood. And nowadays people are caught up into this. And social media is not helping. My group, this person's group, that person's party, that person's faction. Don't go to this group. Don't listen to anyone from that group. Our deen is built upon love. In the Quran, in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah Ta'ala teaches us ittihad. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. I'm standing in front of Allah and I'm saying, oh Allah, guide us. Meaning all of us, the entire ummah, guide all of us to the straight path. Not just me, it's not just about me. And every time Allah Ta'ala uses this pronoun in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Oh Allah, only you do we worship, only you do we ask for help. Everything is about us, one big family. Like so many times in the hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, الْمُؤْمِنُونَ كَجَسَدٍ وَاحِدٍ. The believers are like one body. إن اشتكى عينه وإن اشتكى بعضه تداعى له سائر جسده بالهمة والسهر. That the believers are like one body. If one part of the body feels pain, the entire body stays awake at night and has fever at night. If one part of your body feels pain, the entire body is awake with fever and sleeplessness. So similarly, one Muslim going through any hardship, going through any difficulty, it should affect us like this. It should affect us like this, and we should feel the pain, and especially big bodies of Muslims, groups of Muslims throughout the year, throughout the world, going through suffering and hardship. A believer feels the pain, because believers are one body. So many times Allah Ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah together, collectively. It's not just about you. The bigger picture, wanting the best for every single Muslim. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you is a true mu'min, true believer, until he loves for his brother whatever he loves for himself. And many ahadith will come, inshallah, in this chapter to explain this further. وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. A person who a beautiful lady calls him. And look at this hadith. A person who is called by a lady who is very beautiful, and she's also very noble, very she has a lot of sharafat and nobility. She's not, you know, a street lady. Because what happens is, sometimes a person can refuse the advances or can stay away from the advances of a lady who may be beautiful, but we know that she's a street lady. She's just, you know, she's involved in a very filthy habit or disgusting habit. So even if she's beautiful, a person thinks, no, her profession is so disgusting, I'm not going to go near her. A good person has this kind of inclination to stay away. Or it could be a person from a noble background, but she's not beautiful, so there's no appeal. But when a lady has both of those two things, she's got the beauty and she's also from a very good background, then the appeal is it's very great and the danger is very great. When a person is put in this situation and they say, Inni akhafullah. And she's calling him, she's saying, come and do whatever you want. And he says, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very, very hard. None of these qualities are easy. They're difficult. And a person has to hone them. Allah Ta'ala has to create them inside of a person. And a person has to work on them. So they are in this situation and they say, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many ahadith. The famous hadith of the three people inside of the cave.
And they do dua to Allah Ta'ala with the best deed that they ever did. And one of the people, he does dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, one of the men that I was in a situation where I was alone with a lady and I could have committed zina with her, but out of the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, I let her go and I didn't commit zina. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala freed them from that calamity, because this deed is very dear to Allah, because it's very difficult. And وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ, a person who gives in charity, فَأَخْفَاهَا, and when he gives in charity, he conceals it. Doesn't tell anyone, doesn't show anyone, and he has a habit of doing it, and he spends in charity so much for the sake of Allah. And charity does not just mean giving to the masjid. Any form of sadaqah, anywhere where a person needs help, assistance, even if it's on your own family. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, it's sadaqah, it's charity. حَتَّى اللُّقْمَةَ تَجْعَلُهَا فِي فِيِّ إِمْرَأَتِكَ, even a morsel that you put in the mouth of your wife, this is sadaqah if you have the right intention. And rather, charity is first starts at home. The hadith mentions this as well, that وَبْدَى بِمَنْ تَعُول, that start with those people who are your family members, those who depend on you. So you spend on them for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. We spend so much, you don't calculate. And you never remind anyone. We need to lose this habit. Allah protect us. People do good just so that people are happy. I've done a favor to our uncle Abdul Hafiz Sab, and I do him a favor, and I'm just doing it so he's happy with me, just so he likes me, he respects me, he honors me. And then later on, if he doesn't like me or show any respect to me, I say to him, oh, remember I did this for you, and I did that for you, and I did this for you. Reminding of favors. So it shows from the beginning I didn't have any ikhlas in my action anyway. I only did it to please him, not to please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So whatever action is done for the sake of Allah Ta'ala is accepted, and whatever action is done for the sake of people, there's no purpose to it. Rather, a person occurs the anger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, sin, because this is riya, showing off. This is shirk, a shirkul khafi. That when a person does shirk, they associate partners with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in their actions. That I do it for another person. The action is supposed to be done for the sake of Allah, but I'm doing it for another person. وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, a person who remembers Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala when he is alone, and his eyes start to stream tears. Tears start to flow down his eyes. So this is a quality, again, which makes a person shaded under the shade of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on that day. Again, it's not just, remember all of these qualities are not just, some of them are one time, because some of them, the opportunity only presents itself once. Like for example, a lady, beautiful lady of that position calling you and you refuse. These opportunities don't always present themselves. Allah protect us from these situations because they're very difficult. But some of these opportunities a person has on a daily basis, sadaqah, charity. Similarly here, crying in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, it should be a regular occurrence, not just once. A lot of people cry once when they're going through hardship or difficulty. They don't know what else to do, so they cry. But this is someone regularly, out of the fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, has the habit of crying. And we see the pious predecessors. Subhanallah, Shaykh al-Hadith, one of Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali, the great scholar from India, he mentions that from all the great saints I've ever seen with my eyes, two people I've seen crying like babies in front of Allah. One of them is my own father, Mawlana Yahya Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali, and one of them is Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani. He said, I've seen that when they would cry in front of Allah, they would wail like a baby wails, like, you know, like without any control. And they would do it every day in their tahajjud salah. They'd perform their tahajjud salah, they'd sit, they'd give it, lay their hands, and they would just weep and weep and weep and cry and cry and cry. So the heart has to be soft for this. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala bless us all with these soft hearts that turn back to Allah Ta'ala, that cry in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that connect with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to practice upon this, all of these qualities, and Allah Ta'ala grant us all the ability to bring these qualities into our life. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Astaghfirullah.